I don't know if you've ever tried rock climbing. It's not one of my favorite things, but I have tried it a few times. And there is risk involved. So you're not playing it safe by staying at the bottom. You're attaching yourself to this rope and trying to get to the top. But it's quite safe, so long as you've got a strong rope and as long as you're with somebody who knows what they're doing. And the Bible is full of stories of people who took risks. And in fact, we've been looking at some of those stories in the characters. And so we've looked at Caleb. He was 80 years old when he took a risk. He said, "I'm just as strong now as I was 45 years ago." We've looked at Rahab. She took a risk when she sided with the people of Israel. And her own people in Jericho could have put her to death if they'd found out. We looked at Jonah, who took a risk by going to the great city of Nineveh and preached to them. Next week, we're looking at John the Baptist. And he took a big risk by telling the king that what he was doing was wrong. And in fact, he lost his life as a result. Daniel and his three friends, they took risks. And the story we're looking at today is one of the most wonderful in the Bible. It's a very gripping story. It's one that is the most loved by Jews today. They love reading the story of Esther, or having it read, whether in the home or in the synagogue. Now, the name Esther means star in Persian, and she is a star. She is just a wonderful example of somebody taking risks because they trust in God. When you read the story, it's full of humor, it's full of irony, it's full of danger. There's a beautiful heroine, there's a dreadful villain, and everything works out okay in the end. So it's a wonderful story to read. And we saw it just being told in the clip we had earlier. Chapter 1, there's a powerful king who rules over 127 provinces, but he can't control his wife. He's had a feast, a six-month feast, where he's invited all the important people in the whole empire to come to this feast. And they're celebrating for 6 months. He's showing off his power, his wealth. And meantime, his wife is also having a celebration with some of the women. And then the king says, "Now, I need to get my wife and show her off to everybody because she's beautiful." And she says, "No, I'm not coming." He gets very angry, and his officials say to him, "No, no, you can't let this happen. Because if the story gets out and people hear, the women will say no to all of us." And so the queen is deposed. So chapter 2 is about a beauty contest. And the most beautiful women are chosen to come and meet the king. And there's a whole year of preparation before they come before the king. And Esther is chosen. She is the most beautiful. Chapter 3 is the villain, Haman, the prime minister, the number 2. And he is angry, as we saw, because Mordecai won't bow down to him. And so he decides that not only Mordecai is going to die, but every single Jew in the whole empire is going to die. Chapter 4, which we're going to concentrate, is the dilemma that Esther faced. Chapter 5 to 7 is Esther's plan to try and stop this plot. And then chapter 8 to 10, we see how the Jews are saved. The book of Esther has not always been highly regarded by Jews and Christians. Because when you read the book of Esther, there is not one mention of God. So Jews and Christians have said, this is not a very good book. It doesn't mention God. Also, Jews haven't always liked it because the feast that started at the end of Esther, the Feast of Purim, was not one of the feasts that Moses instituted. And so they say, well, only the feasts that Moses instituted are the ones we should follow. So they haven't always liked it. But in fact, today, Jews love the story of Esther. And it's read every year, the Feast of Purim. And when the name Haman is mentioned, there is booing and hissing, and the children are given rattles to make as much noise as they can to drown out the word Haman, because he is the villain. What we see in the story is that, in fact, God is the main actor. Although we don't read his name, he is the main actor. He is hidden behind the scenes. Somebody has said this: a coincidence is a small miracle in which God chooses to remain anonymous. Coincidence. We say, oh, that's just a coincidence. But it's a small miracle. And God has decided to remain anonymous. He's behind the scenes. So that's what Esther is about. God is behind the scenes, but he's the main actor. And the second thing from the book of Esther is that God works through people who are willing to take risks. So let's have a look at the main part, the center of the story of Esther. Chapter 4, verse 6 to 17. So Hathach, that's one of the servants that was helping Esther, went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her, and he told her to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approached the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you may have come to the royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights, or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. What we're looking at is risk or safety. First of all, the danger that they were facing. The Jewish people were facing extermination. Through the whole of the empire, the Persian Empire, the Jews were going to be exterminated. This not only put the whole nation at risk, but it also put God's plan at risk. Because God had called Abraham and said, from Abraham will come this nation, and through them blessing will come to the whole world. the Messiah will come through the Jewish nation. And so here is God's plan in danger, not just the nation. We see Esther's hesitation. Mordecai says, you need to go to the king. You are the only one who can prevent this. And Esther is afraid. She says, but I can't. The only time I can go to the king is if he holds out the golden scepter. Then I can go into his presence. But if I go and he hasn't summoned me, I'm in trouble. I face death. And in fact, for a whole month, I haven't been summoned. Now, I don't know whether he's wakes up in an angry mood, and I go, and he says, you're going to die. Mordecai responds by saying, well, you need to face the facts. And when we look at Mordecai, we see something of his faith in God. He trusts in God. And he says to her, Esther, if you don't go in, you're still in danger. You will face death, you and your family. He then also says, you are not indispensable. God can find another way. You're not indispensable, but it could be that God has put you there for just a time like this. Maybe this is what God has maneuvered. He's put you in place to be there to speak to the king. Just a time like this. And then we see Esther's incredible courage. She says, all right, I'm going to identify with my people. Now, Mordecai had said to her before, don't tell them you're Jewish, because it was difficult to be a Jew. Don't tell them you're Jewish. And so she says, no, I'm going to identify with the Jewish people. And she's willing to put her life at risk. And she says, well, if I perish, I perish. I think those few words are some of the most wonderful in the stories of the Bible. Here is a woman who's prepared to put her life at risk. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do what maybe God has put me here to do. And then the last few chapters tell of the salvation that God brings about. Haman's plot is uncovered. He's put on the gallows. All the people are rescued. And a great feast is instituted. And Esther is one of the inspirational figures in the whole Bible. She risked her life to save her people. But I think even more than that, she is a signpost pointing to an even greater Savior. And so you have the story of Jesus of Nazareth. And in the whole Bible, this is the most inspiring, incredible story of risk and salvation. First of all, there was the danger that humankind faced. We're not always aware of that danger, and people outside are not aware of the danger they're in. The fact that Satan has a rule over them. That death is like a tyrant that's got them in his grip. That they face the judgment of God. And it's all a result of human rebellion against God. Like Esther, Jesus took a risk. Now, he didn't have to do anything. He was not in danger. It's us human beings who were in danger. Jesus was not in danger at all. But he took a risk. He saw the danger we were in, and he became human. You think of his birth, born as a baby in a cattle shed, facing a king who hated and tried to kill him. And he grows up as a human being and faces all the difficulties we face as human beings. He took a risk in coming from heaven and being born as a human being. And then the greatest risk was dying on the cross. He didn't have to die. He hadn't sinned. But there was no other way that you and I could be rescued if he didn't die. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. But what a wonderful salvation he brought about. Much more wonderful than the salvation that Esther was able to bring. Freedom from the grip of sin and the world and Satan. Death is a conquered enemy. No condemnation. And we receive God's power to live a new life. It's the most wonderful salvation that it is possible to have. Well, we've thought of the story of Esther, the story of Jesus. What about your story? You say, well, my story is not very special. First of all, have you received God's salvation? Have you recognized the danger that you face? That you face the judgment of God unless you've put your trust in Jesus? Have you recognized your danger and have you trusted in Jesus? If you have done that, are you helping to save others? Esther was willing to risk her life in order to save her people. What are you doing to help to save others? The story of Esther reminds us God is the sovereign God. He's in charge. He's the main actor. And all through the story of Esther, you see God working behind the scenes so that the queen is deposed. Is that an accident? Esther is chosen. Mordecai overhears a plot against the king. The king can't sleep one night, and he calls for the books, and he reads about what Mordecai has done. Is all that accident? It's these little miracles God is working, showing that he's the main actor. And as we think of sharing the gospel with people, God is the main actor. He's working in the lives of people in just little ways, coincidences, things that happen in their lives. And he's working to open them up to the gospel. And the question is, are you and I available? Esther was afraid, and eventually she said, yes, I'm ready. I'm available. And we need to recognize that maybe God has put us where we are for just such a time as this. Where we live, where we work, where we play, wherever it is we are, maybe God has put us in that place. Because who else is going to reach the people around us? It's you and me. We have the opportunity to share the gospel with these people just such a time as this. And are we willing to take a risk? Now, I doubt whether you and I will face the danger that Esther faced. But there is a risk involved. We risk our time, our energy, we risk disappointment. Maybe we've shared the gospel with people and they've rejected it. And so we say, what's the point? We risk maybe our reputation. So people know we are Christians and they call us Bible bashers or whatever. And we risk. Or maybe it's our job prospects. You know, there's no age limit here for people willing to risk, from the youngest to the oldest. We need to be willing to risk. One man who risked was a man called Jim Elliot. And he went as a missionary to Ecuador, and particularly to the Auca Indians. And he lost his life as a result. And this is what he said. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. You can't keep your own life, so give it away, and you gain what you cannot lose. And then another quote by a man who says, God calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through. That's what Esther did. She had no guarantee, but she was prepared to put herself in trouble. We took a risk as a congregation when we took on the building project, and we've had the gift day today. But we felt we were safely out of our depth. And I wonder whether we are prepared in the future to take risks. So individually, as a congregation, are we willing to take risks, or are we playing for safety? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the stories we read in the Bible. We thank you for these men and women who trusted in you, who obeyed you. And we thank you for the story of Esther, who risked her life to do what you wanted, to save her own people. And we thank you even more for Jesus, who risked his life, who gave his life for us. Amen.